welcome to this week's Mongol Show. I am Matt Mongol. Always appreciate you hanging out with us as we talk about the big screen, little screen, everything in between. Whether you're listening to the radio show Saturday night, the replay on Sunday, or taking the podcast with us wherever you go, we just appreciate you hanging out with us. Remember, everything that we do, you can check out mongolshow.com. And I should always say, if you're listening to the radio show, there is more on the podcast. So again, we appreciate you hanging out with us on the radio. But if you want to hear even more of our discussion, you can always check out the podcast and subscribe to that as well. Well, joining me as always from thischicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamyop Stevens.
Hey.
We're going to get into some what we're watching and some TV stuff, but you and I were at the screening for Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is coming out this weekend. And I feel like July 31st, that's the date, it's coming up this weekend. Is this the end of summer movies? Do you feel like now that Spider-Man's out there, we're obviously moving into fall and award season? Is this a close on summer movies?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me see what's coming up, because it does kind of feel like is that the last big summer film? But let's see what would be.
I know we have the end of Oak Street coming, but I don't know if that's more of a fall.
No, that's not like that big summer blockbuster. Right. So it's like, okay, so we've got, yeah, because August, when I was looking at August for my next like GMT thing, it wasn't as like packed. And so looking at August, I think you might be right. I think that's the end of the summer big blockbusters, for summer blockbusters.
Right. Yeah, for the summer, you know, that big. And I feel like the last few years, I mean, we've had some really good summer films, but it seemed like in the past they were just jammed from May to the end of August with all of these big, just great popcorn, big screen films. I mean, we'd always have a Transformer movie in August or a G.I. Joe movie, one of those that weren't quite good enough to be in June and July and would kind of trail into August, but
right.
I don't feel like we have those anymore. Yeah, because I didn't see anything in August that floated my boat at all.
No, I mean, there's movies I want to see, like One Night Only and some of the other like smaller scale films. Obviously, End of Oak Street, I do want to see, but they're not, like you said, they're just not on the scale of what has come out this summer. And right. So, yeah, I would say, I think the next, you know, eventually then you get into September, and that's what I call it's like creeping in Oscar contenders is what's happening. Cause like I see on September 25th, Prime Time is coming out with Robert Pattinson, which I'm super excited about. That looks good.
Right. Yeah. We're going to get into that meat of the Oscar runs and all the good thick movies, but
That's what happens. One Night Only,
we saw the trailer for that at Odyssey. I wish that was a horror movie. It's not, though.
Why is it going to be a horror movie?
Because it could have been like a romantic purge. It could have been like The Purge, but in a sex way. Because isn't it like everybody's just free to have sex with whoever they want for that one night?
One night. It's like Purge in that sense, yeah. But I was kind of relieved it wasn't. But I thought it was a really interesting concept. It's like, yeah, there's a law that you have to be married to be able to, which I'm also like, how would people know that
the concept is as long as you're married, you can have sex with anybody and they have to be married too.
Not anybody. I think I would assume you have to be having sex with your spouse. I think it's some.
Oh, I thought it was one night only. You had sex with anybody but your spouse. Like it was just a random, almost like hall pass. Like you could just have sex with whoever for one night only, you and your husband go out and just find somebody and hook up.
No. That's not what it is. It's in a world where basically having sex I'm assuming married people are allowed to have sex whenever they want, but one night of the year when sex is legal, because sex is illegal for single people.
So if you're married, so obviously if you're married, you have sex as much as you want, but if you're single, you can't have sex at all except one night a year.
That's what I'm seeing.
Oh, that's a better concept than I had in my head.
One night when single people are allowed to have sex. So yeah.
Oh.
So that's the thing. I'm assuming you have
Gotcha.
to be married. And so yeah, and that's why that one night then people are like, who are you? Let's have sex. So
Right.
but
And you don't want to,
anyway.
obviously, you don't want to waste your one night of the year.
Right.
So you got to find that. Now, can you have it with as many people as you want in that one night?
I would imagine so. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
Interesting concept. That is an interesting concept for a,
Yeah.
it's almost, that almost feels like those dystopian novels where like everything is illegal and, mandated and, somebody finds a way to get around the
It
system.
is very dystopian. You're right. But like I said, like I'm like very curious how they would even know. Like I want like an explanation. I would hope when you do a movie like this, there's like a clear explanation for the stuff going on there.
Like married people have like a armband or something or a tattoo on their forehead or
Yeah, something. I don't
I
know.
don't know. That's crazy. So if you're married and you get a divorce, I guess you're still then one night only person. That's
I would
crazy.
assume so.
Well, now I'm more interested in the movie than I was when I saw the trailer. When I saw the trailer, I was like, well, this is dumb. It's like The Purge for sex, but
Yeah, it was like a hall pass thing. I don't think I would like it as much.
And it's interesting they showed that trailer for, at Odyssey because everybody was like, this is not the Odyssey crowd. That they showed that one and then they showed the other Mama trailer. And everybody was like, what movie are we at right now? We don't
Oh,
even know.
the oh yeah, I wanted to talk about that. The Other Mommy. That was what we were supposed to talk about too, because that trailer freaking flipped me out. Or did we talk about it last week? Now I can't
I think
remember.
we basically mentioned it last week, but yeah, it was like in the middle of Odyssey and and then it made it viral online. So it was a brilliant idea by them to show it because we just thought it was going to be like this, oh yeah, our mom's in there making dinner, everything's good. And then it just took this turn and like everybody in the theater was like, ah, at that one
Yeah,
scene.
well, that's what I was, because I mean, I knew it was creepy. I knew something, this was not right. She was acting weird, but I didn't expect her to be like under the table, twisted body. Like, that's where you're like, that's that shock value. You almost wish they didn't give it away in the trailer. Like, I hope there's more stuff like that afterward, that we didn't see.
Yeah, me too. And that was creepy to me is, and that's always been one of my fear factors is
The disjointed.
doppelgangers and people who you think they're one person, but they're not. Like you're in a room with somebody that you think is your spouse or your family member or a friend, and they're not. They're an evil entity just encompassed in this body. That's a weird thing. Which leads into the fact we saw Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is kind of that same concept. I don't want to give too much away, obviously, but I said in my review, I think what I liked most about this movie is not great. It's not an amazing Spider-Man, but I appreciated the fact that it wasn't just another mechanical scorpion, octagon, alien from another planet villain. I think the villain in this is unique enough that that made it special to me more than just your cliche Spider-Man antagonist. So, but what was your overall thought of the film? I think because we walked out of the press screening and there was a line in the sand, I felt like where people were like, that was entertaining. And people were like, I hate it. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, I saw that, and I saw, I mean, I feel like, I think it has the middleman too, where people are like, it was okay. But yeah, there are people that obviously we heard hated it. I didn't hate it at by no means, but I the best way I could explain it was like when I was watching it, I had this like imagine, I forget what those are in the hospital, but it just like had this like steady, like I'm breathing. And then there were moments where I loved it and I was like, oh, that's a good scene. That's a good scene. And then I came right back down. Okay, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. Oh, that was good. But
So if we looked
so
at your
it was,
EKG chart, it would be like
yeah,
little
so it was
spikes.
big, but it was basically for me in a decent movie with really sprinkled with really great moments. And what helps is that Tom Holland is just such an incredible Spider-Man. He really gets into like the emotional depth of the character, and he is internalizing so much and what he's going through, trying to keep himself keep his loved ones away from him and having to be lonely in the world, which is really hard. I love when he shows up. I love when he's with his friends, Ned and MJ. Obviously he has great chemistry with Zendaya, and I do like Jon Bernthal in this as well. But there were times, like even with Jon Bernthal, like thinking back, that I thought like they're almost laying this on thick. They're almost doing this, like it was funny, and then sometimes they take it too much. It's like, and it was like nonstop, like let's butt heads and stuff. Like I was almost like, let's, I don't know. But I mean, that's where I stand, is that I think it was good with great moments. And I would still pick it, but I would pick it like ranking the Spider-Man's third one first, No Way Home. No Way Home, right? No Way Home first, Homecoming second, this one third, and Far From Home last.
Right. So the first one for you is when we get all of them together. All the Spider-Mans from all the different universes show up.
Yes.
That's the first
That
one.
was incredible. I love that one.
And then
That one was.
the second, and obviously the last one is when they're in London or England or something. I think that's everybody's least favorite,
Yeah,
right?
nobody cares for Far From Home. Yeah, it was like.
And then the second one is the one that came out right before this one, where everybody's memory is apt.
No, the second one, my second place is the first one, Homecoming.
Okay, which one is so? That's the I don't remember Homecoming. I get the Homecoming and No Way Home. I get those two confused.
So No Way Home is the one with all the Spider-Mans. That's first place. Second
That's
place is the
first.
first one, Homecoming, where Michael Keaton is the main villain.
That's right. Okay. That's the first one with
And
Tom Holland.
he likes that other girl. He doesn't even like MJ yet. He likes his daughter. He likes his daughter.
That's right.
And then the this one that we just saw, and then Far From Home. Yeah, the England one, whatever that one. I guess that was where Jake Gyllenhaal was bad, but yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. And I do agree that I really like Tom Holland as Spider-Man because he, I mean, even in real life, and we see this in every role that he just has this endearing, I don't, there's just something about him. He's just like this guy that you know. He's like a little cousin or a little brother or, you know, or a nephew. It's just, he just has that quality about him. And I think because we love him and Zendaya so much in the real world, I think it makes it more heartbreaking to see them split up in the movie. Like we want them, those characters, we want MJ and Peter to have that relationship that we see in real life. And you can see it in their eyes. It's like they almost want it. It's like they're looking at these people that they love in real life and probably imagining, what if this was us? What if we didn't know each other anymore? You know, and I think it gives a little bit more depth to this Spider-Man franchise than we got in the Garfield and the Maguire ones.
I really, okay, for me, I don't know, except for the exception of when Emma Stone dies with the Andrew Garfield. I remember feeling like the Andrew Garfield one was just fine. Like I liked him. I thought he did a good job, but that's definitely my weakest franchise of it. I just think that, yeah, I do think Tobey Maguire had some really good like emotional moments. But I'm also like, that's the one I grew. That is literally, I still remember watching the very first Spider-Man and being blown away, like leaving the theater, being like, could not stop talking, like thinking about it, talking about it, kind of like the Odyssey, not quite that level of whoa, but like I was like, I remember, and we didn't have all the stuff that we have now to kind of feed your like hunger for more. So I was like, how do I find out more? Like he has to get with it, like Kirsten Dunst after this, and like the story, like what's the comic book and all that stuff. So he did a great job. Like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man has such a place in my heart. But if I'm being unbiased and just looking at all three of them critically or whatever, I think Tom Holland does the best job all around.
I agree with that. I do remember, as you do. I mean, I can even in my head right now, I'm picturing that opening scene when Tobey Maguire and then they go on that field trip and he's got his camera and he's trying to take pictures of Kirsten Dunst and then the spider's there and it gets out and it bites him. And then he wakes up the next morning and he's got that look on his face because he's got muscles and it's like there's just so much of that first movie that stuck with us. I don't. It's so weird because the rest of them are kind of just blurry, but that first one. is such an iconic stick of maybe something we never saw with Spider-Man. But I will say, going back now, having the hindsight, I think Andrew Garfield is my second favorite Spider-Man. The first Andrew Garfield movie, I think, was amazing. It just was. It was like, I remember watching that going, this is the Spider-Man we needed. This is the Spider-Man movie we needed. Mm-hmm. By then, the Tobey Maguire movies had sort of, it lost their fizzle. Tobey Maguire just, to me, wasn't, he didn't encompass as much of Peter Parker that I don't know. I don't know why it was. I don't have anything against him, but yeah.
You didn't like the second one with Doc Ock?
No, because that's when we started getting James Franco and all of them in there, right? As like, or did he come
I think James Franco had more of a prominent role, I would say, in the third one. I mean, maybe, I guess I have to.
Because the third one is the one is the dark Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't like
that. I didn't like that one at all.
The third one's not great, but the
Doc is okay, I guess. Who did Andrew Garfield square off with in the first Amazing Spider-Man? Was that Green Goblin?
I
don't remember. I don't remember all of the overlapping villains.
Was it not Jamie Kennedy? Jamie Foxx? Sorry, Jamie Foxx. It's so hard to remember.
It is, but I go back and forth. I mean, obviously Tom Holland, and it's not just because he's the most recent. I think it's Tom Holland simply because he encompasses a really sweet nature of Peter Parker and his relationship with his friends and the story arc that they wrote. I think that helps too. That I think the writing in this last franchise has been stronger than we've gotten some in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Should they make any more?
I guess I do want at least one more now based off the ending of this last one. It was funny because I was like, I feel like this should be the it. So I was surprised that Tom Holland and Zendaya would even want to keep doing this. But I felt the last one felt complete, and now this one doesn't feel complete. This one feels mm-hmm. like we need one more to close that chapter, maybe a solid five. But I didn't feel, I don't know. I'm still like blown away that you didn't like Spider-Man 2. That's my favorite movie of all of the franchises.
Maybe I have to go back and rewatch it then. The Doc Ock. Like,
well, if you rewatch it, then rewatch the first, because to me the first two were amazing.
And the first two with Toby.
Yeah. Third, like I said, Andrew Garfield, solid, but didn't blow me away. And then Tom Holland, like resurgence, like revived it. But yeah, I mean, overall, I feel like we can do one more. And I agree with you. I do appreciate that this villain isn't what we typically deal with. And I appreciate the originality and something different. It's not this huge like spectacle and explosions and no multiverse. Thank you. And I love the simplicity and I love like honing in on his emotions, but what would the premise be in the fifth one? You know, like, it I wouldn't. Mean,
that's like, why I would almost rather not have another one.
Okay.
But then if they're going to continue doing MCU films and having Spider-Man in them, maybe they could wrap up some of what we expect to have happened now in those movies. Maybe if it's just one small scene or just having Peter Parker talk through it or give us something in a Marvel film that puts mm-hmm. closure to what we just saw. That you know, you don't need a whole another film. Yes, they set it up to be able to do one, but we don't need one. It's like you said, what would they do? What would be the point? I think there's been so much closure and so much things that have been brought out that if they did end it here, I would be okay. I'd be okay going, okay, I think I know in my head exactly where everybody stands now and the trajectory of the future. I don't need another movie to tell me what's going to happen. But if they do need to tell me, I would rather it be in a Marvel film and not in a totally another
movie. Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think you have a good point there, because we have Doomsday coming up, and maybe that's what it needs to be, is that mm-hmm. we don't necessarily need a whole other Spider-Man movie. They can show up in Doomsday and other Marvel films and kind mm-hmm. of, because really to me, the main piece is just like figuring out, well, it's, okay, not going to give anything away, but it seems like somebody remembers somebody And then maybe somebody else needs to grow and remember them and then rebuild that relationship. And then that's basically the only piece that was kind of like, okay, we need to fix that. And then that's about it. Because Spider-Man is still just saving the world, doing his thing, like, you know.
Still doing his thing.
So it's
And
like,
I would even go so far as to be fine if they brought it up in a series. Like if they did another season of The Punisher and then in a couple of episodes brought in that storyline of what he did in this movie and kind of brought some things to a close. Like just give us bits and pieces throughout the next section of the MCU. It's enough that we get closure. I'd be fine with that.
I agree. I agree. Which, by the way, I just had to look up your question for who was the villain in the first Amazing Spider-Man with Garfield. And it was the Lizard. It was that Reese Ifans or whatever. You'd know the guy if you saw him. See, that one's not as memorable to me. I remember more
Because he
Jamie
lived in the
Foxx.
sewers or something, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. I remember more Jamie Foxx's villain.
Yeah, the Jamie Foxx villain was a good one. That was a good one.
So anyways, but yeah, I'm with you. Let's not let I unless you've got a real purpose, because I felt like this last Spider-Man was so much more about Spider-Man's feelings, which I love the name of the title of the Zoom that you did. But like, I think it really was like an emotional like therapy session and like cathartic in some ways.
I was telling on another podcast, I was like, we all need an Aunt May. We all need an Aunt May to come sit on the bed with us and be able to just tell us things and just put us in perspective. And so, and I know a lot of people will think, well, this one was just too touchy feely and even
Oh,
the
yeah.
angst of the villain and all that. But I don't know. I think it added some layers to it. Again, not to give anything away, I liked the cross-pollination of different worlds that we got in this one, which opens the door
At
to be
you
able
with
to
that.
do.
That's a good word. The cross-pollination. I like that.
Yeah, so it was like, just without having to do multiverse. You see, it showed that you can really create interesting dynamics and bring old to new and new to old without doing the stupid multiverse. You don't need it. You don't need to
I
do it.
completely agree. If there's any takeaway, that's the way to incorporate the other worlds and characters. Because I was like, okay, so this person and this person, and that's what I prefer.
Well, to put our clothes on Spider-Man, which I still think people should see it. If you're a fan of MCU, fan of the
Oh,
Spider-Man movies, you definitely need to see it for
it's
sure.
good. I'm going when I write my review, I'm going to give it a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes too. I'm not, this is not a rotten movie. This is good. I just think people need to brace themselves for it not being probably what they're like. I think that's something I have to digest, is that this was so different from the other Spider-Man movies and what you're used to in a superhero film in general. So if you have that mentality, then you can brace yourself and maybe get more enjoyment out of it, but it is worth watching. Absolutely, go watch this in theaters.
Absolutely. Were you surprised there was no early credit clip? This is like the
Well,
first MCU movie I think I've seen in forever that didn't have a clip.
they did, but it was a stupid thing. That's the thing that was like such
Well,
that's
usually they
the
would do one early before the scroll, and then they do the at the end of the scroll like they did in this
Oh,
one.
you
But
mean
there's
like no
usually
mid-credit?
something. I felt like almost jokingly in my head, I was like, is there an intern somewhere going, oh shoot. I forgot to put that in there because it almost feel like there's a space for it. It pauses and then the credits start again. And I was like, well, maybe they're going to put it in later, or I don't know, but it just seemed odd to me not to have something in there like we usually get. So, and I say all that to say, if you don't want to sit through the credits, don't sit through the credits. You don't have to. Go.
You
Leave.
definitely don't.
Bye.
Once it's
Never.
once the credits start, you can absolutely walk out. Just know Spider-Man's going to return, and that's it. We did not need to wait by any means.
Exactly. We know he's going to do something. Something somewhere. All right. So, a lot of stuff going on the little screen as well. What are you watching? What's big on your radar right now?
Oh man, I feel like so much.
Same.
Okay, well, obviously, I watched Ransom Canyon season two. That's like, there was the number one show on Netflix. If you're into that kind of Western drama, romance, and stuff, I do recommend it, especially because Josh Duhamel and Minka Kelly have great chemistry. They're the reason to watch. That's such a good couple. Did you finish watching Let's Marry Harry?
No, in fact, we started watching, we watched the first episode because we're like, all right, we want to watch this. Got about 5 minutes into the second episode and just turned it off. We're like, this is ridiculous. This is just, it is like, it's like the great value brand of The Bachelor. I don't really like the hairy guy and I don't really care much for, so we were like, you know what? We're not going to watch it. Now, will we go back and revisit it maybe after it actually airs? I don't know. But no, we can't, we couldn't get through it.
I don't blame you. It definitely like made me miss The Bachelor. I was like, oh my gosh, I want The Bachelor so bad because they do it so much better. I love the concept that it's his friends helping him out, and that's what really got me. And I thought the first episode was good. I thought he did a really great job night one. He was asking the right questions. He seemed like he was weeding out the bad people, and he didn't kiss anybody night one.
Well, he made up for it night two.
Oh, he makes up for it night three, night four, night. I mean, it was well made up for. I was like, it's almost like tricked me. I was like, oh, great, he's doing awesome. Like, let's go here. And his friends are great. The confidants, like, they're awesome. And I think they're doing like they have the right idea of what's good for him. Does he listen? Not always.
We
But
never do.
yeah. So I mean, obviously, I also had to do interviews. I'm gonna have that up next week. But I think he's a nice person at heart. I really do. I think he's, but he's. I don't know how ready he is for marriage. And
That's
that can
always
be
the
said.
question. That's always the question on these shows is like, is it really your end goal?
I feel like sometimes I'm gonna give him credit. I think that was his goal going in with his dad passing away and where he was in life, and he really wants kids. I think he does want that. But when you're presented with an opportunity to have 20 smoking hot, whatever definition, by definition, everybody has their type. So not all those women would be my type, but
No, same.
so some of them are really stunning. That 20 of them are just obsessed with you and want you. Do you fight the urge to just be like, let me have a sample of all of them and let me, treat this like a Playboy? Or do you stay strong and treat this like I'm really looking for my wife in this? Like, I mean, the best example, I go back to The Bachelor because The Bachelor is the same concept, and Harry is not alone in leads that have been just like him.
Oh, of
But
course.
I always say, like, are you going to be a Sean Lowe? Are you going to be a Joey, like Grazie, or even a Zach Shallcross? Like those three are leads that Jason Mesnick, they take it seriously. Like they weren't, those were leads that I remember weren't like, ooh, sex fest. Like let me just take all this and fuel my ego. Like I felt like all of those guys really wanted to find a wife. And I don't know, it's just really interesting. Like watching this, I was just like, I do think you're right though. I think they started with a good idea, but then it does feel very much like a great value brand of The Bachelor. And I so want The Bachelor to come back. And I think they need to do a better job of incorporating the friends, because I do feel like the friends should have been, because that element is what's like cool and interesting about it, that should be a more like prominent, played a more prominent role. But yeah, so that, and I feel like I'm trying to think.
Well, one series I think you watched, I didn't watch it. My wife watched it. I mean, even before I think the morning it
Oh,
came out was Five Star Weekend.
yes, I knew. I was like, there is something I watched recently that I just binged. Yes, Five Star Weekend. Yes, that was great. I loved it.
Well, it's an amazing book. So it sounds like they adapted it perfectly
Did you read the
for.
book?
No, I don't read those kind
Oh, I was about to be like, well, then maybe you can tell me some stuff because I didn't read it. But yeah, it was good. That was a really good one, too. Love Jennifer Garner. I thought Regina Hall's character was actually my favorite. But very great show on Peacock to stream. And we do have Ted Lasso in our, well, we have four, the first four episodes are in our Apple screeners, but I've been wanting to wait for them to add more because I don't want to like binge and then wait forever. Have you watched them?
No, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait too because
Yeah,
I've been really
right?
excited about this. And there's other Apple TV stuff. I didn't get a chance to see Lucky yet. I wanted to see that. I know you watched Cape Fear, which was like eh on Apple TV.
I mean, once you watch it, you're hooked because you're like, it's, I think you would like it. It's still worth it.
Did you start Widow's Bay yet? Yeah, you put that on there.
Is that a mini series?
It's not gonna be one and done, I'll tell
Okay, then
you.
no. So hold off on that. I am excited about today, Devil's Mouth released on Prime. And I know we were talking about shark movies last week, or shark, not too long, at some point we were talking about it. And that is going to be my, I'm excited. I was like, okay, it's still July. I can still watch a shark one. It has a good
Absolutely.
cast too. It has that Catherine Newton girl and Lana Condor from To All the Boys I Loved Before. So it's like a teen thing, but I don't know. Do you watch those? Do you watch like the teeny bopper, like the teen, not teen, but like YA
I
horror?
do in this genre because I mean I'm all about sharks and anything with water with sharks and alligators and all that carnage. I'm in for it. I don't care how old the victims are. So yeah, I'm interested and I love the name too. It's such a great name for that kind of a movie.
Devil's Mouth. I mean, I think it's
Yeah.
based on, I'm like, is it based off a book? What?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm definitely planning on watching that. I have tried to rewatch some like comfort films because I feel like I've been watching so many things. Like, oh, we started 72 Hours with Kevin Hart. The one
Oh,
on Netflix.
how is that?
We're only about like 30 minutes in. It's funny. It has its moments, but it's so ridiculous. The concept, the script, it's almost like too unbelievable.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah. I mean,
And
we'll
I
finish
feel like the
it.
same Kevin Hart we get, and I love Kevin Hart, I do, but I feel like every Kevin Hart we get is the same Kevin Hart.
Oh, he's just playing himself. It's like a different, it's like, I always say he plays like different, like he's a synonym of himself, essentially. Like it's, there's a little adjustment to something different. Like, you know, he's Kevin Hart in an, as an advertising agent, you know, like, so,
Well, I'll tell you a movie
but.
that's streaming now that I thought was hilarious and was so different than I thought, but I don't feel like you liked it, but I don't think it was like blew you away is the Masters of the Universe that's now streaming on
That's
Prime.
what I wanted to talk about too. The Masters of the, so yeah, because you said you were watching it as a family movie
Yeah,
night,
we did a
right?
family movie night. I
Oh.
laughed. It was my, but that's my kind of humor. And it's not the humor that I thought it was going to be. It's almost, I don't know, it's hard to describe. It's very silly sometimes, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, no, I agree. So one, I'm really happy that you know, everybody was like, why did they release it so early on Prime? Because it was kind of a treat that it like was released last Wednesday. I think it exactly what you guys did. I think it's this treat that you can make into a movie night because it feels big, it feels cinematic. And but you know, I just watched it. I felt like the first hour was like its peak. I loved the comedy too. I thought the comedy was good, but I just, it's like one of my number one complaints. I didn't think it needed to be as long as it was.
No,
It
it was
was kind
long.
of,
It was long.
it dragged. Like the setup was great. I was so into it. I loved him in Oklahoma. Oh, I thought it'd be with Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah, I know. We were surprised about that too. It was like, hey, look, they're where they are. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so I was totally into it, but like somewhere in the middle, it just felt like it was just dragging it out to just drag it out. And I was like, eh. So it like lost me there. And then I come back in at the end. And I, even though Jared Leto is in some controversy right now, I did think he did a great job,
Right, I know he
Skeletor.
did, and that controversy came out of nowhere. I saw
I don't
today.
think it came out of nowhere.
I mean, as far as on my radar, I didn't see it coming.
There were rumblings of that kind of stuff, but it kind of got brushed under the rug. My guess is there's more solid proof of stuff, and
Oof.
maybe I wouldn't be surprised by no
Yeah.
means.
Yeah, but I agree with you on Masters of the Universe. It kind of lagged. It was like one of those things like, oh, now I know my power. Oh, I don't have, I'm not worthy of my power. Oh, now I got to find a way to re-get my power. And so those parts of the movies always lag, but I just like the comedy. Like even when Skeletor's laughing and he keeps laughing and everybody's looking at him like, why are you laughing? Like those kind of odd moments. And I think fans of the cartoon are going to love that. I didn't watch the cartoon in the early 90s. Kimberly did, and she was cracking up. And every time they bring on a character, she'd like cheer because she was like, I, you know, like, oh, this is how their character is. And then at the end, she's like, every Masters of the Universe cartoon back then, He-Man cartoon, had a message and a moral at the end. And this little thing would come out and say, today we learned that blah, 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 blah. And that's what they did in the movie. It ends with them going, hey, you know, today we learned that, you know, so and so and something. And, you know, so it was just funny how they really made it for the fans, I feel. So.
And my brother, that's like his favorite cartoon. I don't know if he's watched it yet because he wants to watch it with his sons, but I mean, oh, also, I thought the soundtrack was amazing. I love the 80s
Oh, it was so good.
soundtrack. Like I said, visually it was great. I thought Alison Brie was also wonderful. I thought Jared Leto did a great job. And I also thought Nicholas, I can't ever say his last name. I think he did a really wonderful job too. So casting all around was great. That's really my only complaint, is that somewhere in the middle it just dragged and took me out of it. And I just would have, I was like, I just don't know why this is 2.5 hours. Like that just, again, does
Same.
not need to be 2.5 hours. But I'm here for a sequel, have no problem with that. I had fun and I'm glad it did well at the box office. I'm really happy it like broke records on streaming, as it should. Like I think like what you did, if we had watched that with my son, if he could comprehend it, like your son, then, and we made it a movie night and got popcorn and did all like the turn the lights off, all the fixings. I also think that movie would have hit harder and been more. We watched it in like two parts that Wednesday in the daytime. So that was
No, I think it was a lot of fun. Like I said, it was just different than I expected. And I am happy that we got it so early on Prime, like you mentioned, because I mean, Disclosure Day is on Prime too, but it's $20 to rent. I'm like, I'm not paying $20 to rent Disclosure Day. I really want to see it and I'm excited to see it, but I'll wait for the Blu-ray 4K digital to come out. So some of the new stuff that hits Prime sometimes is just a little bit expensive for the bank. So I'm appreciating that they did that. And another movie that I had no desire to see that is streaming now. I didn't want to see it. Last night I started. I'm like, you know what? There's nothing else on. I'm just going to put this on and watch it. It's the new Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, did you watched it or you
I
didn't?
started it and I got sleep. So I'm going to finish it today. But I was like watching it going, this is actually pretty good. This is like the storyline and the, you know, everything else. I was really surprised at what kind of movie it is. Because
I'm
you liked it, right?
glad.
Y'all went and saw it in the theater.
We went and saw it in theaters. I was not looking forward to it because I hate the first one. And this was kind of that same kind of vibe of Masters of the Universe, like more self-aware, leaning into the nostalgia, the humor. Obviously, Carl Urban is great, but I also like the girl who plays Katana, Adeline Rudolph. It's just fun. It is just a blast. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and I love all the current pop culture references because he talks about what is this Squid Game, and you know that
Oh,
he's at
yeah.
the convention and all the influencers are there getting the. This is just a lot of really clever humor that I didn't
Never.
expect in there. So, and I never watched any of the originals movies, and so
Yeah,
I
I
didn't feel
know.
like I needed to. I felt like I went into this one not needing to know anything else.
You really don't. Yeah.
So those are two really good streaming options if you want some fun. Little action comedies is Masters of the Universe and Mortal Kombat 2. Both of those are streaming. Plus a ton more stuff. So we'll get into more of it next week. Remember, Spider-Man comes out this weekend. As Susan said, definitely see it. You're not going to love it. It's probably not going to be your favorite one, but I think it's going to rank in there pretty high above some other ones. So
Yes, agreed.
yeah. And so for everything Susan does, check out thischicksflix.com. Everything we do, it's mongolshow.com. And we'll be back with more next week.